لله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We ask for His help. We beg for His forgiveness. We seek refuge and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our own sins. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to the straight path, no force can misguide him. And whoever Allah misguides, no one can guide him to the truth. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that he has no partners and no equals. Before I actually begin the rest of the khutbah, if anybody has their car parked in front of the doctor's clinic next door, you could please move it and so that they're not blocking the driveway or using their parking lot. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أو you who believe, fear Allah, you should be feared, and die not except as Muslims. So I wanted to focus on a fundamental aspect of our deen, which is our iman, and it's such a huge topic. Something from a scholarly perspective you can study forever and learn about forever. So obviously the khutbah is basically a time for a reminder, and inshallah whatever we can benefit from, you know, inshallah Allah gives us tawfiq in that regard for me as well as for you. And so I just wanted to touch on a few things that we can do and how we can understand our iman and increasing our iman. And what is iman? First of all, iman is basically our yaqeen, our belief in certain things that iman is defined as from a literal perspective that we've been taught from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's belief in Allah, that there is one Allah and His omnipotence and His transcendence. We believe in the angels. We believe that Allah has created them, and they have a purpose in our lives and in the universe that Allah has created. We believe in the prophets, peace be upon all of them, all the way from Adam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in the revelations of those prophets that they brought. We believe in the Day of Judgment, and we believe in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the things that we've been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that constitutes our iman. We have to believe in these things to have iman. And so it's important that we try to understand these things and learn from them. And there's many mashallah ulama that we can learn from that can teach us kind of in detail all of these things. What is belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who are the prophets? What were their characteristics? Angels, what are the angels and how do they exist and what their role is? All of these things are things that we can learn about and we can benefit from in increasing our iman. And there's many, many resources that we have today that we can do this. Obviously I can't go in detail in all of these things, but I did want to focus on iman in a more abstract and in a general sense, in a way that we can take some practical knowledge and utilize it in our day-to-day lives. That's one of them, is to learn about what constitutes iman in terms of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. The other aspect is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that iman is like clothing. And just like clothing, it gets worn out. It gets worn out. And so, it's a process. We have to constantly try to renew that iman. If we don't, then it basically wears out. And so, you know, we've probably experienced that in some regard. And Ramadan is a perfect example, because you know, during Ramadan, we have an increase in our ibadah, in our worship. We're making salat more than we normally make. We're reading Quran maybe. We're obviously fasting. We're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've decreased in our worldly appetites. We're decreased in backbiting or talking or all of these things, engaging in trying to resist getting angry. We're contributing, we're giving sadaqah. All of these things are a way or a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to increase our self iman. And He's told us through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you walk towards Him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He runs towards you. Right? So there's a direct correlation between one's practice and one's increase in iman. And vice versa, when one leaves the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fara'id that He's instructed us to engage in, the obligatory actions, those are things that affect our iman. They affect our ability to follow the commandments. And it's almost, in a sense, what the ulama say, it's almost like a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. That when you go away from Allah, He may send you things that cause you to stray more. As a punishment for leading the way that Allah has commanded us to follow. So these are all things that we have to keep in mind. That we have to, the more we do, the more we strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the increase, we'll experience an increase in our iman. And the more we do, the more Allah inspires us to do more. There's an increase in our himma, our humma would be like our morale, our ability, our energy in following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that there's an example of the Prophet, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man who was walking, one of the Sahaba, and he was looking at a woman as he was walking, and he ended up walking into a wall, and he bumped into it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You received your punishment in this world for your eyes watching this woman." And so we know that there's a direct correlation. Allah, you know, has His ways of maybe increasing us in iman and decreasing us as well. Sometimes we experience the direct effect of our not following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's something that we should always be mindful of. So I wanted to give some practical aspects. What are some ways that we can increase our iman? Obviously, again, we just came out of Ramadan. So inshallah, we have some of those habits that we gain in increased ibadah. But there's a lot of very easy things that we can do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned some of these very easy things. And these were gifts in a sense to us, and they were gifts to the Sahaba when he described them. Some of the Sahaba had complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, there's Sahaba who have lots of wealth, and then there's other Sahaba who are poorer. You know, so you know, why is it that there's an imbalance? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a gift to them, he said, "I'll give you something that will you know, basically allow you some equality in that regard. But it won't be in a worldly sense. It'll be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And he taught the tasbih that we're supposed to do after our salah. Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times or 34 times. And so these are things that they're very small, but they have amazing weight with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think about how it operates in the salah, right, we make our salah, and sometimes when we arrive, sometimes we leave, sometimes we take off, do whatever we want. But if we actually just sit and rest for a moment and do our tasbih, there's a benefit in that for us. There's a benefit in it for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for us. And they're very weighty. And yet, the other thing is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned doing the same tasbih right before one sleeps in bed, right before they sleep. It's something he said that it's very easy to do, but very few people do it. But it will have an immense weight on the day of judgment. So these are all things that, and what a tremendous thing to do right before one sleeps. And we know that the Prophet said that, and Allah mentions that sleep is the brother of death. So in essence, when you sleep, it is a form of death. the different forms described as such. And the arwah, the ruh, they leave the bodies during that sleep. And it's a complete, you know, it's a complete lack of, complete absence of consciousness in the body. Right? It's literally a type of death. And so, before we sleep, it's a tremendous thing to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know if we're going to wake up the next morning. We don't know that. Many people die in their sleep. And so it's something that we should endeavor to do, and it's a very small thing. It doesn't take more than probably 2 minutes, literally, or it's even that, to do this tasbih before we sleep or right after our salah. These are all things, ways, practical ways we can increase our ibadah. The more we do, the more increase we experience, inshaAllah. The other things that we can do is, you know, there's the Prophet ﷺ has given us his sunnah in our salah, and he's given us sunnah in you know, before our prayer, before our fajr salah, for example, we have 2 rakat sunnah. We have you know, various extra sunnah prayers that we can do during our dhuhr prayers, before or after our dhuhr prayers, before our asr prayers, after our maghrib prayers, in after our isha prayers. And Abu Hanifa in the madhab, in the Hanafi madhab, it's actually sunnah muakkad. It's emphasized sunnah to do the sunnah prayers, you know, the 2 before fajr, the 4 before dhuhr, 2 after dhuhr, 2 after sunnah, and 2 after isha. And it's considered, if you have no good reason and it's a regular part of one's habit, it's, in an opinion of Abu Hanifa, it's considered sinful to leave those sunnah prayers. So just to give you one opinion about the weight that the ulama gave to these sunnah prayers, because the Prophet ﷺ always never left those prayers. He always did those sunnah prayers whenever he could. And so he gave a great weight to those things. And we know that one of the things that we're asked about when we die and is our salah. And the Day of Judgment, our salah is going to be judged. That's the first, one of the first things that we're judged on is our worship, as our salah. And when our farah, and when our farah prayers are lacking or there's deficiencies, then our sunnah prayers make up for those deficiencies. So these are tremendous gifts for us that the Prophet ﷺ has left for us. And there are means for us to increase our salah, to increase our iman. Right? To practice one of the main aspects of our worship is our salah. Right? It's a tremendous gift to us to be able to actually pray with bowing our heads to the ground. Right? If you really imagine what that is, imagine if you couldn't do that ever again in your life. What a tragedy that would be. There's many of us who cannot because of our bodies and whatever issues that we have. There's many people who wish they could, but many of us, alhamdulillah, we're healthy. We should, myself included, take advantage of that. We have so many opportunities. We have, you know, obviously we have the prayers we do at, you know, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did at night that we have as an example. There's the Hajj prayer, there's the Dhuha prayer, there's the, you know, obviously the Sunnah prayer that is mentioned before and after the actual Fard Salah. Then there's the Awwaleen prayer, which are the prayers done between Maghrib and Isha. And there's so many ways that we can increase these things. But again, I mean, myself included, it's just a matter of focusing and utilizing these lessons to increase our iman. The other aspect, and this is also a very easy way to do this, is to actually just look at the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in general and to be grateful for them. Right? Shukr is one of the great ways of one of the great blessings that Allah has given us. The ability to have shukr is in and of itself and a tremendous blessing. That when one experiences a blessing, when Allah gives one a blessing, that one actually remembers the one who gave it to us. Right? Because it's easy to forget. And because we're so involved in our day-to-day routines, we forget the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And there's no such thing as a small blessing. Right? We have this phrase in English, thank God for small blessings. Right? That's the idea of it. We don't believe that, because if you take a small blessing, right, every small blessing is contingent on numerous other blessings that preceded it. So for your example, my ability to hold this piece of paper up, or to stand, to raise my hand or move my finger, it seems like a small act to move my finger or my pinky or even my toe, some tiny part of yourself. But it presupposes millions of things that have taken place for me to even move my pinky. Right? The ability for me to think about it, first of all, presupposes that my brain is functioning properly. Right? Because the body has a state called homeostasis, all kinds of chemical and physical reactions, chemical reactions and neurological reactions are taking place at any given moment, such that if any of them are in excess or deficient, I'll literally faint and perhaps even die. Any one of us. And so a small blessing is really not a small blessing. It's actually dependent on millions and millions of other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to take place in our bodies. So these are things that we can look at, and I wanted to actually focus on some of these things, and specifically there's a verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ لِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. We will show them our signs in the universe and within their own beings, until it will become manifest to them that it is the truth. Is it not enough about their Lord that He is witness to everything? So these are amazing, amazing blessings that we have. And all we have to do is literally look in the mirror, or look at our own hands, or walk around and take a few steps, and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with these things that we take for granted. Right? The brain is an amazing thing. I mean, just thinking about our brain and presupposing all of these minor things that take place before we can even function. For example, there is a disease or a brain disorder called face blindness. There's a brain disorder that people have called face blindness. So they're completely normal in every respect, except that they cannot remember people's faces. Because there's a part of the brain that is specific to remembering the faces of human beings. Right? So it gives you an idea of how complex and how specialized the human brain is. And there's plenty of people from Caltech here, so there's probably people who can explain it to you better than I can how the mechanics of that work. But it's an amazing thing, and we realize our own blessings by seeing what other people don't have sometimes. Right? So it's an opportunity to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another part of the body that is also something that we don't even realize, and in fact scientists don't even know exactly how it functions exactly, or they understand the process, they don't understand how it happens or how it stops, and that is the clotting of blood. Right? When you get a cut, there is an extremely complex process called a coagulation cascade. And it's basically when you cut yourself and blood starts flowing, there's a process that takes place immediately. There's a chemical that's released into the bloodstream that immediately starts clotting the platelets and the blood, and it starts bunching up at the spot where the bleed is happening. And then there's a complex process that continues, and it's about 60 steps that take place, one after another, until the body creates enough of a clot that the blood stops flowing. And then the process reverses itself, so that because it's a cascade, it means that one step leads to another, it could technically keep going on until all of your blood clots. And if that happened, obviously a person would die. So there's a process that takes place that starts it, and then reverses it, so that the blood doesn't keep clotting. Right? And it's so complex that if there's even one or two or three steps were missing, we would die. And there's people who have blood disorders Like, for example, hemophiliacs, people who, they bleed, they keep bleeding because their blood can't clot. There's numerous other blood disorders because these steps are missing, right? And yet we have nothing, we have no say in the process. We haven't instructed our body what to do. There's nothing voluntary that we're doing that actually makes that happen. And yet it's happening, and without it we could not survive. Such a, what we would not even probably think about, we get cuts all the time. But we could technically die from a tiny cut if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create these things within us for us to actually look at and learn from and understand the blessing within it. So much of our body is actually completely involuntary. Our blinking, our breathing, our heartbeat, all of these things, our liver functions, kidneys, blood, all of this stuff is taking place by itself. We have no control over it. And we realize that when we don't have some of these abilities and we lose our health and we get ill and have some pain, and then we realize what blessings we have. And so we should always be grateful for these blessings that we have on just right now, this very instant. And that is a means of increasing one's men. When you actually realize Allah's creation and Allah's blessing and the signs that Allah has created just within our own bodies, just as Allah has mentioned, these are signs of His existence and His greatness. That we have these things and they're absolute blessing. One of the ulama has said that good health is like a crown that only the ill can see. Right? It's an invisible crown. We don't see it. But only the ill can see it because it's something they wish they could have. It's an invisible crown, an invisible status that we have of having good health. And only the ill can see it. It's a metaphor, obviously, but it's just to kind of give us a sense of that. That when people are ill, they really, and if anybody's experienced illness, extreme illness or pain, it completely debilitates us. We cannot do even the simplest thing. So these are tremendous things. Then there are signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us outside of our bodies, just in the things around us. And Allah mentions this numerous times in the Quran about the signs for those who reflect. The creation in the heavens and the earth for those. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He said, and the blind man and the seer not equal, neither are those who believe and do good works. Little do you reflect. And how many signs in the heaven and the earth did they pass by when they turned their faces away from them? And so, again, it's very easy to just get immersed in our daily life. Immersed in our, obviously we live in a society where we rely a lot on modern technology and modern conveniences. I mean, we don't realize, you know, you turn on a faucet and water comes out, right? But, you know, we know what happens if rain doesn't fall for a year. You know, a completely advanced society such as ourselves, we kind of rely on technology. But even a society which can do so many things becomes completely helpless when the rain doesn't fall, right? They have to start rationing water, and there's all these issues that take place. And water is life, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created water as a means of life for us. If it's gone, then we have no recourse. We're completely dependent on the rain that Allah sends us. And so it says that Allah, you know, out of His mercy, sends it sometimes not because of the people, but because of the other creation, the trees and the birds and the insects. For them He sends it. So, inshallah, we ask Allah to make us worthy of the rain that Allah sends, because these are all blessings to us. The Prophet ﷺ, he, you know, their desert, the people of Mecca and Medina, desert people, he used to report that he used to take off his cloak and he'd feel the rain falling on him. Because it was water is life. Right, and so these are all things from Allah. Kind of, these are all blessings. Just drink a cup of water, right? Drink a cup of water. There's an anecdote story told about a scholar who went to a king, and he said, "What would you give if you were dying of thirst and all I had is I had this cup of water? What would you give for this cup of water?" And he said, I will give you half my kingdom. And he said, and what would you give if you couldn't release that water from your body? And he said, I will give you the rest of my kingdom. And he said, this cup of water is worth your entire kingdom. Right? So that's a huge thing. Just a cup of water is a kingdom in and of itself. So we have all of these blessings at our disposal. Like literally. We can walk in the restroom and drink water. We can go anywhere and drink water. We have plenty of everything around us. And yet there's people who are starving throughout the world in East Africa. There's a famine. And so these are all means of increasing our iman when we realize the blessings Allah has given us. And we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can easily take them away from us as well. Very easily. And so these are things that we can focus on. And just as these are pillars of our iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's one of them. And of course being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the things we can really increase. Amen. So inshallah we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our shortcomings and our sins and to increase us in gratitude of iman inshallah. That iman is like clothing and it can wear out just like old clothing does. And so it's important that we continue to renew our iman and maintain our iman. It's not enough that we just it's a tremendous blessing that we're Muslim, but it's not enough. We just said, alhamdulillah, we're Muslim, we believe in Allah and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By itself it's an amazing thing. But we have to continually work to increase our iman. It works. We have to do things. Right? That's why Allah has created these things. Our salah is not just theoretical salah. We just think about it. We worship Allah and we're humble to Allah. Our salah is a real thing. We physically bend our back and we move our bodies and we put our head to the ground because it's an expression of our devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, that is a means of increasing our iman. Inshallah, I think there's a bunch of brothers and people coming in so we can make space for them, inshallah. And so these are all means for us, inshallah. So there's numerous examples. I can't even go. This is a khutbah, just a way to remind people, remind myself, so we can, when we leave, we can continue with this, whatever it is that we gain from, and exercise with it, and utilize this thing. Look around and look at the trees and the plants, literally. Look at the trees and the plants. There's no bees. There's no pollination. We don't have fruits. We don't have any of these things that we take for granted. These are, and the bee is actually something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. And the ants as well. All of these things are interrelated in very complex social structures. And I wanted to leave with one thing that I read about very recently about ants. Because it's completely extraordinary and inshallah it'll be a means of increasing our iman. That there's a verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes when Solomon is the Prophet Sulaiman is marching, and there's ants that communicate with each other, and the description is described as the ants warn that the army of Solomon is coming, go back to their homes. And the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the ability of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam to understand the language of creatures. And there was a study that was done on a particular type of ants. Ants are amazingly complex creatures. And it's extraordinary that they even exist in the way that they do, because their brains are literally just a bunch of jumble of nerves, like a pinhead inside their bodies. They shouldn't have the ability to do what they do, but they do it anyway, and they do it in very complex ways. And there was an article that was in the National Geographic about a particular type of ants. And one of the things that they do is they communicate to each other. And they do so in many ways. One of them is chemical. And so they touch, you've probably seen ants. If you actually walk ants, you can watch them. They actually will still, when they meet, they touch each other with their antenna. Right? And that's the way they communicate. Another way that some ants communicate is actually abstract, what we would describe as language. Because what it describes is when there's a predator that is approaching them, what some of these ants will do, they will go to their fellow ants and they will mime killing. With their bodies, they will make sign language that actually mimics the killing of another ant. Right? That's language. That's what we understand as language. And so, the fact that an ant does this is completely, it's extraordinary. And all you have to do is just find a classroom and watch the ants. And they're absolutely amazing creatures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them as signs for us. And Allah said that He does not shy away from using even the gnat as an example of His glory. And so the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in everywhere we look. And so we should use that as a means of increasing our iman. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in iman and in taqwa, to increase us in gratitude, to increase us in all of those things which are pleasing to Him. وانصرنا فإنك خير الناصرين وافتحنا فإنك خير الفاتحين واغفر لنا فإنك خير الغافرين وارحمنا فإنك خير الراحمين وارزقنا فإنك خير الرازقين واهدنا ونجنا من القوم الظالمين وحملنا ريح طيبة كما هي في علمك وانشرح علينا من خزائن رحمتك واحملنا بها حمل الكرامة مع السلامة العافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة إنك على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين